Florida voters overwhelmingly passed Amendment 1, which sets aside millions of dollars for land and water conservation. Exactly where will that money be spent? This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. Amendment 1 takes effect on July 1st and is expected to produce $640 million in its first year. It'll be up to state lawmakers to figure out just exactly where that money should be spent. Environmentalists who help push for passage of the amendment will want to have their say as well. We happen to have both with us today. Republican State Senator David Simmons of Altamont Springs joins us from the studios of WMFE in Orlando. And Aliki Moncrief, field director of the group Florida's Water and Land, which helped campaign for passage of Amendment 1, joins us by phone from Tallahassee. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Senator Simmons, what is your role in this process?
Well, I, in 2013, began pushing for the passage of a comprehensive method of protecting our springs and our water resources, and was working very hard and on that. We actually passed something through the Senate on that issue. But during the process, of course, the Land and Water Fund amendment was beginning to heat up for the 2014 election, and I supported that. And of course, now that it constitutes a dedicated funding source for cleaning up our environment, I certainly have been active in working with that in the Senate. And there are a group of senators, about five of us, as well as the president of the Senate, who feel very strongly about the preservation of our environment, particularly our water and land resources. And so I'm one of the individuals who is working on that. I sit on the Environmental Preservation Committee in the Senate and plan on being instrumental in our team in passing it through the Senate.
Now, you and your colleagues, you said you supported Amendment 1, but many of your colleagues are probably being dragged kicking and screaming into this. Your Senate President Andy Gardner said before the election this does not belong in the Constitution. Then House Speaker Will Weatherford said pretty much the same, that we shouldn't legislate via amendment. But we have it. It's here. It's happening. So your thoughts on that?
Well, I can tell you that the president of the Senate strongly supports a clean environment, and he was only dealing with the issue of what is the best way to dedicate the funds. And I myself agree that using a constitutional amendment is not the best methodology, because you know, once it's there, you can't. You can't change or correct anything that ends up being incorrect. And so the fact of it is I supported it because it was the best option available to get a dedicated funding source for the next 20 years to do the critically important thing of assuring that we have a clean environment, particularly our water resources.
Aliki Moncrief, do environmental groups, Audubon, Earth Justice, and the like, generally agree on the areas of most concern where the money should be spent?
Amendment 1 does lay out a very straightforward set of priorities for how to spend the money on water and land conservation. I mean, it specifically ties back to some of our existing statutes establish the framework for existing conservation programs like Florida Forever, like the Florida Communities Trust, Everglades Restoration. So I would actually say that when you look at the language of the amendment, it really does outline the types of expenditures that voters read and intend for our lawmakers to spend on the environment.
So it's your opinion that lawmakers pretty much have their, you know, they are being told what to do, and all they have to do is execute it.
Well, I mean, as Senator Simmons pointed out during one of the very early meetings about Amendment 1, and I certainly don't disagree with the idea that, of course, our lawmakers have discretion. You know, no amendment can completely tie the hands of our legislators. So there is discretion. However, what Amendment 1 does is provide a very clear roadmap, a very clear sort of, imagine, you know, drawing a line around certain types of environmental expenditures. And that's what Amendment 1 did, to try to ensure that state dollars are focused in the coming years towards the existing programs that have done remarkably well over several decades. So yes, in a sense, what we're saying is that there's really no need to reinvent the wheel. Amendment 1 really was intended as an infusion of money towards our existing conservation programs that have served us so well.
Senator Simmons, it's not hard to imagine, though, that lawmakers and county officials, local officials, will start sort of competing for this money for their own local projects. Environmentalists, of course, with lobbying power, no doubt will be in the mix. Could things sort of get nasty in competition for this money?
I think that there will be a healthy debate as to how best to structure this methodology for assuring that the 33% of the net revenues from the documentary stamp tax, which should be over $700 million, will be used. I can tell you that the senators with whom I have spoken believe very strongly that we're going to comply with not only the letter but the spirit of this constitutional amendment, and there will need to be a nexus between the preservation and improvement of our environment, particularly our water resources, with anything that we do. But the important thing for us to do is use common sense. We should not leave our common sense outside the door when we go in to vote on this issue, the matters that should be within the scope of this constitutional amendment. What we've got to do in the litmus test is going to be, did we solve the problem? We have significant problems, particularly with respect to our water resources. Let's say our springs are being degraded, our lakes, particularly Lake Apopka, Lake Okeechobee, the Indian River Lagoon, all of these are in jeopardy. What we need to do is solve the problem. We don't need to just go out and buy a bunch of land because it happens to be, you know, that there will be money available to do that. What we want to know is 20 years from now, we can look and we can tell our children or grandchildren that we solved the problem for the preservation and the restoration of our resources.
So what happens when the next recession comes along? You can't cut Amendment 1 money. Is that a choice? Do you have to cut somewhere else, K-12 or prisons or health, anything like that? If the money has been earmarked for those projects, would that matter?
Well, this dedicated funding comes from the documentary stamp tax, which is the little excise tax that is on documents that, for example, deeds. There is a tax that is placed upon the amount of consideration that is transacted in a deed, in a sale of land. And so these are dedicated monies pursuant to this constitutional amendment and must go into the Land Acquisition Trust Fund. And so we have to assure that that one-third of those net revenues, and that means the total documentary stamp tax collection less the Department of Revenue's administrative costs, must go into this trust fund. And when it's a trust fund, that means it's treated as trust monies.
Aliki Moncrief, there are fears among some environmentalists that this Amendment 1 money will be squandered on land purchases that have little environmental impact instead of the big offenders, properties that really pump out pollution. Do you share that concern?
I think the intent of Amendment 1 is to make sure that we are funding all of the tools in the toolbox. The tool that Amendment 1 focuses on is not just land acquisition, it's land conservation, it's land acquisition, management, restoration. And so for instances where you have ecosystem restoration projects that have plans that are approved, that do have a merit-based, a science-based policy, and that are approved by public agencies, you know, that certainly Amendment 1 dollars could go to those things. our real concern is that, one, Amendment 1, it was not really designed to fix the very significant water crisis problem that we face. It's in honesty, it's not even enough money. So what we're urging is that our lawmakers not just look to Amendment 1 to help solve those problems, but to look at other sources. So, you know, for example, we've gone and we've put forth ideas about how state appropriations outside of Amendment 1 dollars could be used to ensure and to match, you know, local wastewater projects in order to incentivize local governments to also help with the springs restoration efforts. You know, we've sort of put forth other places where our lawmakers can go to make sure that the funds are there for these important problems.
Senator Simmons, Florida Forever, the land purchasing program, has seen its budget cut 97% since 2009. Now, it came a long way before Amendment 1 did. Would you expect all that funding to be restored by Amendment 1?
No, not right now. I expect us to use common sense and try to solve the problems that are directly facing this state first. And why do I say that? It's because if we don't have a plan over the next 20 years, and the duration of the funding pursuant to this amendment is for 20 years, which provides a methodology for us to go ahead and bond and therefore leverage our receipts from the documentary stamp tax. This gives us an opportunity to go ahead and leverage our money and solve the problems immediately, start investing in the infrastructure that is necessary to, in fact, preserve our water resources as well as our land resources. It's a matter of creating a set of parameters for us, for the legislature, for finding out each area that has its own problems. Because remember, what the problems are in Miami are not the same as they are in Jacksonville. And so each area must, through its local governments, prepare a plan along with the DEP and the water management districts, submit that plan, have it reviewed, and, you know, for the first time, let's have a comprehensive review of all of the important things that need to be done in each area to preserve our springs, to preserve our lakes and our rivers. And what we will do then is look at those, see which ones have to be done in each area first in order to solve the problem.
Governor Scott's proposed budget includes a $28 million cut to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. DEP is supposed to oversee the Amendment 1 projects. Economist Hank Fishkind says this will gum up the works. Here's Hank.
That's precisely the problem, that the proposal would simply eliminate currently vacant positions, but that doesn't reduce the mission of the agency. The mission of the agency is going to increase, and the governor's reducing the manpower to conduct that mission.
All right, Senator, so the mission of the DEP will increase, fewer people there to conduct that mission. How will this likely play out in the legislature's budget?
The legislature, I believe, will go ahead and provide for the adequate funding for the increased responsibilities that the DEP will have relating to the implementation of Amendment 1. And so I think that you're going to find that there will be adequate funding in the implementation of this and the funding for the DEP.
My guests are Florida Republican Senator David Simmons of Altamont Springs and Aliki Moncrief, field director of the group Florida's Water and Land. In November, 75% of Florida voters passed Amendment 1 aimed at land and water conservation. We'd love to hear your ideas about that. Weigh in on our Facebook page or via email, floridamatters@wusf.org. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters, and we're talking about how the state should spend the money generated by Amendment 1 aimed at land and water conservation passed by voters in November. My guests are Florida Republican Senator David Simmons of Altamont Springs and Aliki Moncrief, field director of the group Florida's Water and Land, which campaigned for passage of Amendment 1. Aliki Moncrief, what should not be funded by Amendment 1?
Well, you know, when I think about Amendment 1, I think about the 2.5 years that so many volunteers, during which so many volunteers worked very, very hard and had always a very positive approach. So what Amendment 1 does fund is, and we can read from the amendment itself. You know, Amendment 1 says that it is to finance or refinance the acquisition and improvement of land, water areas, and related property interests, including conservation easements and resources, for, and then it goes to list several things. So it's acquisition and improvement in land, of land for conservation lands such as wetlands. It's for acquisition and improvement of lands that protect our water resources and our drinking water sources. So certainly part of what Amendment 1 is designed to do is to fund acquisition and improvement of land that helps protect our vital water resources. For the most part, while wastewater infrastructure is important and is one of the tools in our toolbox to help protect some of our natural areas, to protect our lakes and rivers and springs, wastewater infrastructure was not the intent behind Amendment 1. In our proposal to the legislature, we recommend putting aside at least $60 million for springs, really for ecosystem restoration projects that are designed by science, that are approved by appropriate public agencies. We also, as to the springs issue specifically, recommend that $30 million of Florida Forever dollars be allocated to protecting lands within springs. Because at the end of the day, when the lands within a spring shed are developed, when the natural areas that are protecting our waters at the source, when those natural areas are gone, we will not get them back. And so many of the voters and so many of the people who worked hard to make sure that Amendment 1 passed, that's what they were thinking about. They were thinking about these natural places that play an incredibly important role in protecting our waters. Mother Nature is an amazing engineer, and so part of protecting the lands that protect our waters is making sure that we let Mother Nature do her work.
Senator Simmons, I've heard lots of ideas about what to do with this money, and one of them is beach renourishments.
We know that there are broad purposes set forth in this amendment, and there are distinct sources of pollution, and common sense tells us to go ahead and stop the problem at the source, and if it happens to be related to governmental discharge, then we need to deal with it. If it's agricultural discharge, we need to deal with it. If, in fact, it is septic tanks, we need to deal with it, because why should we take our eye off the ball? The ball is the goal and the objective of a clean environment, and so why would we spend money where it's not needed? And so we're going to do this. We're going to do it as a team. There are going to be a lot of ideas and viewpoints on it. And we're going to have an open door on all of the views, no matter whose they are. We're going to hear and we're going to listen. And so I think there's a lot more ground for agreement that we have than disagreement. And this can be a very open dialogue, should be an open dialogue, with everybody having a seat at the table. Now, to answer your question about beaches and shores, the amendment specifically says, in its long litany of items that money can be spent on, is, quote, beaches and shores. So there's no doubt that this amendment covers beaches and shores.
I got to wonder, is it cleaning them up or renourishing them? Because we all love nice beaches. They're important for tourism. But strictly speaking, and Aliki, you can weigh in on this, how is restoring a beach after nature erodes it an environmental issue?
Well, that's an interesting way that you put it. That nature is doing the erosion. In many cases, it's not Mother Nature that's eroding a beach to a point of critical concern. It's things like inlets and seawalls that are changing the dynamics of beaches. And so, you know, while beach management projects, one thing that folks have to remember is the important role that they play in ensuring, for example, sea turtle habitat. If it weren't for beach management projects happening around our state, our sea turtle populations would be in much more dire straits than they currently are.
I want to talk about recreation. It was brought up a moment ago. Becky Alfonso is the executive director of the Florida Bicycle Association, and her group envisions a statewide trail system connecting Key West, Tampa, Orlando, and Tallahassee.
I do believe that with just a prime example of the coast-to-coast connector trail where you have so many pieces already in place, that once that starts to connect, and not just bicyclists, but any resident in the state of Florida will see the value of what that will do, not only for the economies of the cities off of that trail, but for tourism in general for Florida.
All right, so they've got their eyes on Amendment 1 money. Senator Simmons, tourism is vital to the economy, and some would argue that Florida has more dire environmental concerns. So how much, if any, of this money should be used for recreation like that?
Certainly a portion of it should be used. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go right back to the constitutional amendment, and it says to finance and refinance outdoor recreational lands, including recreational trails. Very clear that that falls within the scope of the amendment, and those trails provide recreational opportunities for not only Floridians, but for people who come from other states and want to enjoy Florida's wonderful lifestyle. So, yes, we need to include that as a part and parcel of the overall methodology of the implementation of Amendment 1.
Aliki Moncrief, Florida Forever, we talked about that, run by a panel of state officials and private citizens. The Acquisition and Restoration Council, which evaluates and selects properties, but other agencies use that money too. Could the way Florida Forever operates change in any fundamental way?
Well, we certainly hope not. Florida Forever is an example of a program that has a really stellar track record. It is the way that Florida Forever, the way the ARC, the Acquisition and Restoration Council, recommends projects to the governor and cabinet is based on competitive merit, science. It's a process that's free from political influence. So we certainly hope that the Florida Forever process will not be changed, and really there's no reason why it should. The passage of Amendment 1 really, as I mentioned before, is designed to put money towards many of our existing programs like Florida Forever that have been underfunded and defunded in years.
Senator Simmons, Florida Trend has noted a trend in the state's land acquisition program in recent years away from grabbing ecologically pristine land and toward just acquiring as many acres as possible. We're getting fewer crystal clear springs and more ranches, many which they say are not that big a deal environmentally. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that it goes back to what I've stated. Let's go ahead and solve the problem. Let's not just be buying lands. Let's solve the problems to assure that we have a pristine environment and water for us to be able to drink, clean water for you and me to drink and our children to drink. Our Florida aquifer provides literally over 90% of the water for drinking water for Floridians north of the Orlando area. We've got to assure that that great and wonderful body of water beneath us is, in fact, preserved and is pristine. And so that is the source of the springs. And if the springs are sick, that means the water that makes up the aquifer and the water that you and I are drinking and our children are drinking has got problems as well. So it is important that we not spend money just on the sheer acquisition of property. That was not what this was intended for, nor does it make any sense. And so Let's do what's right. Let's preserve our environment, just as those who were proponents of this constitutional amendment have wanted. Let's use it for the purposes that are not just in the first paragraph or the first phrase of the constitutional amendment, but in all of the language of the amendment. And so that does include recreational lands. It includes beaches and shores. It includes rural landscapes, working farms, and it includes the management and restoration of natural systems. So we know that there are broad purposes, that there is a wonderful opportunity that we have here that was presented to us by these proponents of this constitutional amendment. Let's not go ahead and shirk our responsibility. Let's join together as a team. Yes, there will be differences of opinion as to how to do this, but in fact, we all have a common goal, and that's preserving our environment, and we're going to do it. And with respect to how we do it, there will be probably some changes to the mechanism for the distribution of the monies, because all of these different projects will be vetted in each local community. They will be then presented to the DEP, and we'll probably expand the acquisition and council. We're going to go ahead and probably expand it to include each of the water management executive directors, so that we can make sure that every area of Florida has an input, not politically speaking, but scientifically speaking, as to what are the challenges that we have and what is the best way to spend the money.
Florida Republican Senator David Simmons of Altamont Springs and Aliki Moncrief, field director of the group Florida's Water and Land, which campaigned for passage of Amendment 1. Interesting discussion. Thank you both so much for being here.
And thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that is all for today's show, but the conversation continues online. Let's hear your ideas on our Facebook page or via email. Now, over the next few weeks, we will be taking a look at the upcoming legislative session, and we want to know what you think your lawmakers ought to be doing in Tallahassee. Call and leave us a message at 813-974-8652, 813-974-8652, or send an email to floridamatters@wusf.org. You can also connect with us on Twitter at Florida Matters. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts, engineered by Craig George, and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.